Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, well, well. Good evening, good evening, good evening. We want to thank the listening audience, especially the 47,400 and some odd people who have listened to a show here on Home-Based Business 101, truly making this listener-supported radio. And again, I want to thank my grandson, Isaiah, as he does each and every time we come on these airwaves, introducing the show, and truly supporting his grandfather. So again, just want to thank him for that. I want to thank you, the listening audience, for all that you do to make this show what it is. Without any listeners, hey, we're just another voice out there in space. Okay, as you know how we do every time we come on these airways, we start with Daily Motivations for African-American Success. And so when we do this Daily Motivations for African-American Success, we're reading from a book by Dennis Kimbrough. And today's reading is from February the 8th. Let the truth be told. Quote, it's not your environment. It's the quality of your minds, the integrity of your souls, and the determination of your will that will decide your future and shape your lives. Unquote. Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, educator and chairman emeritus from Morehouse State University. Reading for today. Both of us desperately hope to make our mark on the events of our lives. But how? There seems to be so much unnecessary confusion regarding the truth about success and achievement. What do successful men and women know that so many do not? One, they know that altitude is determined by attitude. They shoot for the stars. Two, they know that the road to success is a worthy destination. Three, they take chances to the beat of a different drummer. Four, they come early and stay late. They make the 40-hour work week look like child's play. Five, they dream big dreams and then work on making those dreams come true. Six, they know the law of averages. They know that success is a statistical event. Seven, they know that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Eight, they make choices and not excuses. Nine, they have a strong faith, belief in God, and respect for their fellow humans. Ten, they know they are responsible and they respond with ability. 11, they know their stuff. I now know the difference between success and failure, and I will act on what I know. Okay, today's show. Today's show, we're going to talk about home-based business and preparing your taxes or leveraging your W-2 income or any form of taxable income you have against a home-based business. In the event that you audited, how do you respond to that audit? Okay, IRS agents are no longer limited to in-person interviews. An agent can simply mail you a demand letter, and you are required to send them your deduction records for whatever they ask, including your mileage receipts, mileage logs and receipts, or your tax diary. This means that an IRS agent can send out hundreds of letters at one time. If you are an independent contractor or own a business, you are as much as 700% more likely to be audited than the average taxpayer, and this percentage is probably going to go up now that agents don't have to be present. Nine ways to reduce an audit. Okay, there's nine things that you should look at if you want to try to reduce the chance of being audited. If you are like most people, you have an inborn fear of IRS audit. Well, the saying goes, if ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. Here are nine things you can do to help reduce the chance of an audit. Number one, file your tax return electronically or send it using registered mail or FedEx. The reason is that if the regional IRS center doesn't get your return, then they might audit you to find out why. I strongly recommend your accountant files is electronically. Also, the IRS announced that filing electronically over that of using paper provides a much faster refund. Make sure the IRS has your correct address. If you move, fill out IRS form 8822, change of address. Several years ago, U.S. Today reported that the IRS had $78 million in refunds, but they couldn't find those people or where to mail them to. Three, make sure your tax return is neat. I met a person who thought that if the IRS couldn't read his return, they wouldn't audit him. This is absolutely false. The return must be neat and easy to read, or the people who input the information to the IRS computers might input wrong information, which could trigger an audit. Report all of your income. The IRS has implemented various sophisticated software programs to find people who don't report all of their income. Make sure that your tax return reports all the income you earn and identifies the income by source. Don't try to hide income from the IRS. This is so, so important. You want to make sure all your income is reported. I mean, it's the same when I go to help people who maybe have a lawn care business, and they'd be like, well, you know, Jahi, why should I report this to the IRS? I said, because if you report what you bring in, I said, in the long haul, you're going to be able to get a bigger tax return, especially if you're working a job. I said, how's that? I said, because you're going to leverage your lawn care business against your job, and so that's why you want to report your income, because now where you store your lawnmowers and your other stuff, which is more than likely the garage at your house, that's a tax deduction write-off for the use of your garage. You use your truck to get them around. I mean, and I know this particularly because I have two people that have lawn care businesses that I've done taxes for, and the first thing I had to do was convince them that they needed to report the lawn care income, especially since they were using it as a way to leverage against their job. They couldn't understand why they needed to report that income. And in the long run, it helped them leverage against their job and gave them more deductions, which led them to get more money back. So the other thing is also, if you use your vehicle, your truck, which they did, to transport the equipment from job to job, now you have another write-off. You have a write-off for your truck, maintenance and upkeep of your lawnmower or whatever you're using as far as to do your landscaping business. So, you know, these are examples of why you need to report all of your income. Five, have your return prepared by a competent tax preparer. Studies show that people who do their own tax returns have over twice the error rate than that of a tax professional. The IRS knows this, which means that if you do your own return, you could be increasing your chances of an audit. Not to mention, the competent tax professional probably knows more than you and might find more deductions. So this is why you want to make sure you have a competent tax preparer doing your tax return. Break your income and large expenses into smaller segments. Break down large ticket items to explain to the examiners exactly what was involved in expenses. For example, if you claim $25,000 of computer expenses, you would probably trigger an audit. However, if you attach an explanation showing that $25,000 was compromised of computers for 30 new employees, then it looks reasonable. So you want to make sure you take big chunk amounts and break those expenses down so they can understand what's all included in them. Keep records of expert advice received. If you rely on advice of your accountant or your lawyer keep records as to the nature and date of the advice. There are cases in which penalties have been waived for good faith reliance of an independent expert. Here's the next one. Don't die. The government in both U.S. and Canada audit about 68% of all final returns. The only good thing about dying is that you do not have to show up at the audit. Be careful. This is number 9 coming up here. Be careful of what you tell other people. The IRS pays up to 30% commissions for people to rat or snitch on people. If you want to make a living reporting tax cheats, get IRS Publication 733, Rewards for Information Given to the Internal Revenue Service. That's the title of that publication. Thus, don't tell people about what you are doing with your taxes. If you're doing everything correct, if someone thinks you're cheating and reports it to the IRS, they might audit you. So it's important to understand who to share information with about your taxes. Okay. The top snitches in the country are, 1, ex-spouses, a disgruntled boyfriend or girlfriend, disgruntled employees, ex-partners, and your competitors. Any of these people might rat you out or decide to snitch on you. So you want to make sure that you don't willingly share information with people about how you're handling your taxes. Here's a tax bot tip. If you get a wrong form, a 1099 or a W-2, contact the company or person who sent the wrong form and ask for an amended form. If they won't do that, they're out of business. Because they have to report your income properly because they turn in something to the IRS called a 941. Which lists the income of all of the different people that they had paid wages to. Maybe I'm crazy, but if the situation was reversed, the IRS wanted money from you, don't you think they would fine you? Finding a change of address is very important, not only for refunds, but in case the IRS needs to send you an important notice. If you move, you may be liable to the IRS without knowing it because you didn't provide a change of address. The IRS is only responsible for sending notices to the last known address of the taxpayer. So it's important that you make sure when you do move that you send in a change of address form to the IRS. Okay, now let's talk about what to do if you are audited. First of all, assume that you will be audited whenever you prepare your return. Time to get ready for an audit is when you are preparing your information for your tax preparer to do your tax return. Make sure you are organized. So if you audited in 6 years, you can easily find and explain everything. Letters or memorandums from your accountant or tax preparer, if any, should support questionable items. Okay, so remember, you can be audited either you turn in your return. Now, seeing them do this, seen them go back as often, as many times as 6 years to audit a return. It runs across an IRS agent's desk, and they say, wait a minute, somebody else looked at this, somebody else looked at this, but hold on, I see some things in here that's kind of triggering audit. And even though your return might be 3 years in the making, but you're not out of the woods in terms of being audited after 6 years. This is very, very important to remember. So that way, when you're doing your return, or in the case when your tax preparer is doing your return, that you make sure they have all of the information correctly and that they know exactly how to be able to explain everything that's in the return. Okay, the next thing is, whatever you do, don't avoid the audit. An audit notice doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. It's simply a request by the government to find out if your return was prepared correctly. Generally, you will be notified by mail. So don't skip town or do anything to get out of it. That makes you look guilty. Because remember, the IRS assumes that you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent. So it's very, very important that you make sure you attend the audit. Next, try to limit the scope of the audit. The audit notice will tell you exactly what is being audited. Only bring the information that addresses these problems and nothing else. Otherwise, you might encourage a fishing expedition by the agent to look into other matters. And this is so, so important because if they have a question about your mileage log or your business expenses in terms of mileage, that's all you want to bring to the audit. You know, when they audit you, they have to say, okay, what triggered this audit? And they have to say, okay, well, let's say they use an example, your mileage log. Your mileage for what you put on, what you listed for this vehicle, we have some questions about that. So what do you bring in? You bring in your mileage tracking, however you track your mileage. And I got to say this is very, very important. Make sure that you're keeping proper records. You want to make sure you're keeping proper records. If you list that you have 5,000 miles in terms of business mileage for your vehicle, you want to make sure you do the who, what, where, and when. First of all, who was you going to see? What was it related to in terms of the business? Where was it at? When did you go? And why? And then if you do that with everything, and I know you probably said, this is some keeping, isn't it, Mr. Jahi? Well, you need to make sure that if you're going to claim the expense, that you can show that it was business related. How you show that it was business related? You got the who did you go see? Why did you go see them? What was it related to? And where did they live in relationship to your house, especially if you're working from home? So keep that in mind. This is very, very important. The burden of proof is on you. Tax law requires that you prove your deduction was valid. The IRS needs to prove nothing. You are not innocent until proven guilty. This is where TaxBot shines in the proper use of it, that burden, and reduce the time it will take for the audit. So, again, if you have what's called your TaxBot records, and TaxBot is a app that you can use that will help you with keeping track of all of your legitimate business expenses, and especially one of the biggest ones is mileage, because what it does, it allows you that every time you get in your vehicle and you go on an appointment, it allows you to put the date, the time, your starting mileage, and your ending mileage. Starting this round trip, and, you know, it'll calculate the whole round trip, thus giving you the amount of miles that were put on your vehicle to see that particular client. So you go to TaxBot.com, you can download the app. TaxBot.com, you can download the app. If you're part of Service 365, you get the app and part of your SBA monthly fees that you pay. You pay $19.95 a month in terms of SBA fees, which gives you the TaxBot, which allows you to track your mileage. So I encourage people to make sure you're using the tools that are given to you. Or if you're not in Service 365, purchase the TaxBot. Go to TaxBot.com. Okay. Again, we're talking about if you audited. Dress normally for the audit. Don't make a special trip to Goodwill Industries to buy dingy clothes. Don't wear expensive clothes or expensive jewelry either. Examiners dislike people who look like they make a lot more money than they do. But they also don't like people trying to look like a charity case. Again, you know, this is very, very important that you understand how to dress for an audit, just like you normally would. Next, be on time for the audit. Burn this point in your head. The IRS and the CRA examiners are graded on efficiency. If you're late for your appointment and cause the auditor to be inefficient or to take a longer time on the audit than he or she should, you start the audit off on the wrong foot. Typically, an agent starts examining your returns about a half an hour before the audit begins to see what the problems are. If you are late, you're giving them more time to evaluate you, your return. The best bet is to be early. Be and act organized. Make sure that you are prepared to answer questions and deliver any required proof of donations, deductions to the auditor. If you look or act disorganized, they will think that much of your return and won't have sufficient backup, which could result in more in-depth audit. Also, better organization means a faster audit, which could bring this whole unpleasant task to a quick conclusion. So be on time and be organized. Can't say enough about that. Don't volunteer information. Although I recommend that your accountant show up without you, sometimes your presence is necessary. If you attend an audit, you should never elaborate on an answer. Keep your answers short and to the point. Finally, be very careful what you say to an auditor. Information can be used in subsequent criminal trial. Four, to make sure that you do volunteer information. Because, you know, you volunteer information, and it's just like, you know, a person always told me, you go to court, you have a lawyer. Because if you don't, if you're your own lawyer, then you have a fool for a client. I would say the same with an IRS audit. Go with somebody so that who's ever there with you can witness what's being said and can step in to answer any questions that they might have, you know, information about or reference to. Ask for tax law references. You are right. Ask the auditor, the agent, for legal reference. Don't accept vague statements or interpretation of the law. Make sure your tax advisor, the GOAT, by saying, my accountant told me that this deduction was proper, assuming this was the case. Can you give me something to show that he's wrong? So, you know, the thing is you want to put the edifice on the person that prepared your taxes for you. And remember, a good tax preparer is going to ask you about information and things that you're reporting and let you know whether or not they think can be deductible. So you want to keep that in mind. Okay. Don't be alone with a special agent. Special agents are not special. Their job is to investigate criminal activities. If there are ever two agents to see you, ask whether either of them is a special agent. If so, terminate the meeting and seek out a criminal tax lawyer. Many times it's easier for the government to get you on the crime of lying to an agent than on the crime itself. So this is important. If you enter the room and there's two people there, make sure that you ask, is this person, this other person, a special agent? Which one of y'all is a special agent? Because they have a whole criminal investigation department that does criminal investigation into tax returns. How do I know this? Because a couple years ago, my business partner who was doing taxes with, special agent showed up on his job. I wanted to know about some returns that we had put together for some people. And, you know, they told him, said, well, you know, y'all on the criminal investigation. And, you know, fortunately, you know, we was able to get out of that situation, and, you know, they weren't able to prove we committed any crimes. But taxes is very, very serious business, and you should make sure that you're doing it in a very, very serious manner. Don't ever tamper with the evidence or lie to an agent. It's much easier for the government to get you on lying to an agent or tampering with evidence than on crime itself. Thus, don't backdate documents or intimidate witnesses. So this is very, very important to understand this, that you could very easily be investigated, and if you tamper with the information, when we say tamper with information, one is like backdating documents, you know, cannot backdate documents. Your taxes are for the fiscal year of January to December. After December 31st, any business expense that you have that goes into the new year, that's on next year's taxes. You can't backdate it and list it. It's like for 2018 taxes, you cannot list a 2019 expense. It has to be all 2018 expenses. So it's very, very important that you understand about falsifying information. There is no privilege protecting your communication with your accountant on your tax prepare on criminal matters. Accordingly, never hire an accountant to represent you in criminal cases unless they are lawyers too. In addition, you should probably terminate any communication with your accountant, as anything said to them can be obtained by the IRS in a criminal matter. If you need to deal and communicate with your accountant, have your lawyer hire the accountant so that any future conversations is protected under attorney-client privilege. This is very, very important. Again, the whole purpose of this broadcast today is to make sure you understand the seriousness of an IRS audit. And I'm sharing this information because I've had, in the past couple of years, I've had several clients who were audited. And when they were audited, they had a panic attack. You know, except for I had one client, can't give out their name over the phone, over the show, but, you know, we went through what they needed to do. And, you know, it was a tedious process. Ended up with over 300 pages of information that they provided to the IRS. That's how thick an audit can become. And, you know, I didn't think that the IRS agent was going to read all of the information. Well, obviously they read all of the information. They got back to us and let them know they had won the audit and they was able to keep all of the money that was given to them. That was about $3,000. And so it's just very, very important that you know how to prepare for an audit, because your day is coming. If you're a home-based business owner, believe me, your day is coming. Your day for an audit is coming. I remember telling the client one year that there was an audit waiting to happen because the kind of deductions they were listing, you know, when you start having more than $5,000 worth of business deductions, You're really looking for an audit to come your way, because basically it's a home-based business. The most you should have in terms of deductions on average is about $10,000 to $15,000. Anything over that, then we're talking about some serious possible red flag information. So make sure that you get your taxes prepared correctly and you have someone that really takes their time in preparing them for you and goes through the whole process with you, making sure that what you list is what it is, and that you can also document and provide receipts for each item. It's not like you can just provide them with a bank statement. You need a receipt also that documents this is what it is, this is what was paid for, and this is how, you know, the money was spent. And also why you purchased it. How did it relate to your business? It's so important that you do this. So again, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. This is Baba Jahi. And I'm going to really close this thing out with our theme song. You know, our theme song is called It's My Time. Make sure you are preparing your taxes correctly. And those of you that, you know, are getting your taxes done by me, make sure that from here on out that you're using the tax bot. I want to be encouraging and encouraging and encouraging people to make sure that that's what you're using, that you're using the tax bot. That's the main thing. You know, no one wants to get a $10,000 return and then the IRS says, you know, 2 years later, well, you know, we need receipts and records. But more than likely, if anything, 2 years later, you're not going to have those receipts or those records, you know, because most people do not do record keeping like that and keep adequate and accurate files. So make sure you're doing that. Okay, I'm going to close the show out now. I'm going to put up our song, It's My Time. It's our time to claim our destiny.
Wake up.
Okay, make sure you join us Monday evening at 7:30 for National Black Unity News broadcast. And then on Wednesday, you can catch us at 7:30 for the Vortex broadcast. And I'll be back on these airways again next Friday at 7:30 for things that can help you find ways to avoid paying extra taxes. Okay, till next time, God bless. Love you.